gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. You want to know why?
Why?
Because today's show is the radio version of These Are a Few of My Favorite Things. Representative Alan Grayson coming up in less than half an hour. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, Charlie Pierce, and Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha Tyler returns.
Sweet.
BFF forever. Oh, that was redundant. Never mind.
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com, the website.
It's kind of like saying ATM machine. The M already covers machine. Thank you.
I just love her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Hey, you can see us right there on StephanieMiller.com now.
The Ustream
is up right on the main page.
Hey there.
Hello. And you can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Sharon in Detroit did with yet another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. Steph, last weekend my daughter and I were sitting at our local bar. That's, why does that not surprise me, fans of mine? After two or so glasses of Chardonnay, I began telling her how much I wanted Sherry's berries for Mother's Day, and of course, to be sure to type Stephanie in the box. Thank you. Well, my berries arrived, and they are every bit as delicious as you said. When I opened the box, I couldn't decide which one to devour first, so I ate like three of them.
Oh, dear.
Yikes. And they're the size of basketballs.
Yeah, they are.
Enough, even though that means an extra hour on the Stairmaster, it was so worth it. Thanks for plugging such a terrific treat. Now tell the elves to get on a tour date in Detroit. By the way, we're the same age, you, me, and Obama. All hail 1961. Oh, don't mention the date, Sharon. A tour date? Why, you mean for the sexy party?
Splendid! This calls for a sexy party!
All right, next one, kids. Syracuse, New York, this Saturday, May 14th. Come on out and join us. Sexy Liberal Show starring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and me. And we're so excited. Saturday, May 14th, our next one. And then Raleigh-Durham, Saturday, June 4th. Minneapolis, Sunday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And I know there's supposed to be another big announcement, a magical announcement. I think it's going to be any day now. If you happen to be a large city in the, let's say, Midwest.
Hmm.
All right. It's scheduling a bunch of little mini Normandy invasions.
Yes.
The Sexy Liberal Show. It's very complicated.
I hear there's a great street in that city.
Really?
Yes.
Alona writes, Steph, please bring Sexy Liberal Show to Asheville, North Carolina. Alona, get in the car and drive over to Raleigh-Durham, for God's sakes. They're going to be trying to get some party buses together or whatever. We can't be everywhere all the time. Raleigh-Durham, June 4th. Come on, do it.
That's right. Raleigh-Durham has never seen Stephanie Miller live.
Oh,
so we had to give them a little bit of sugar.
A little love. By the way, my Republican brother wrote me about my mom going, and I said, yeah, I don't.
She says no.
I'm not sure she would enjoy it. My 88-year-old Republican mom.
Doesn't like the teabag humor?
She says no.
I don't think she would enjoy it. My sister asked if she could bring my nephew. I'm like, I don't.
Computer says no.
No, not really for the kids.
Well, how old is the nephew?
He's like 11.
You have a nephew that's like my age.
Oh, yes. No, not that one.
Not that nephew.
That
he
one would
enjoy
love
it.
The show.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just like, oh, I don't think that's for mom. You tell her I'll come over to Charlotte, don't you? You wait there. Mama will be right there.
Aww.
All right. Kids, speaking of unsolicited testimonials, I have to give one because, you know, I'm old. And I'm on my way to dying alone and being eaten by my dogs.
Yes.
And no one will notice for several weeks, and you'll have Hal Spark fill in for maybe years before anyone even thinks to say, hey, I wonder where
Stephanie Miller
ever went.
And you know what? I think that's sadly what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Steve and Rhonda, because I mentioned that I also, pretty much everything's went at once, and I need reading glasses now, which
yeah.
I just assumed I was still drunk when things were blurry in the morning, but
right.
No. But they have the coolest reading glasses at readingglassesetc.com, and they sent me free ones in honor of being old. Steph, do not take any crap from the mooks for having to wear them. reading glasses can make you look sexy and powerful. Eh. Practice glaring over the top of your readers at your minions, and you know who they are, and feel the power. I've got the power.
You're like She-Ra.
Yeah, right, except old and decrepit.
But you know when the nuns would glare over their reading glasses at you?
They're kind of... Actually, they are sort of sexy.
Put them on.
I don't have them with me.
Oh, why not? Don't you read things here?
Sure, my dogs enjoy them a great deal.
Yeah, they're eating them right now.
No, I don't. I only need them first thing in the morning.
Okay.
It's weird. It's like I only need the semi-permanent rinse, as I told you, and I only need the reading glasses first thing in the morning. I'm on the slow downward spiral, but I'm only like right here. I'm not all the way down yet.
Yeah, but the hairdoery that called in yesterday said that that is color. Just
well,
like
he's
what,
a bastard
Osama,
person. He doesn't
Osama
know.
Osama bin Laden did to his beard.
He does not know.
Uh-huh.
All right. This is Kathy from Chicago with a, this is a side effect. You know, side effect of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Steph, I generally watch an overabundance of news programming over the weekend. Every time one of the talking hands mentioned Abbottabad, I would immediately launch in. The occurrences were so frequent that even after I turned off the television, I found myself saying Abbottabad, just so that I could, well, you know.
Abbottabad.
Yeah.
Abbottabad. Abbottabad.
I said it just to have a reason to release the do-do-do-do's that were bouncing around in my head. I feel that I need some sort of deprogramming, since I believe the Stephanie Miller Show, to which I subscribe, the annual rate of $4.95 a month if I buy a year in advance, is responsible for starting this affliction with your frequent airing of the Muppet Show theme. After every mention of the city of Abbottabad, I feel the least you can do is recommend where one would seek professional help for this debilitating disorder. Well, funny you should ask, Kathleen. At the Sexy Liberal Show, the only way to get that out of your head is to go see us live. At the Sexy Liberal Show, and if you can get to Syracuse this Saturday, probably the sooner the better.
What if you played this on a continuous loop while people are shuffling into the theater? Do you know what a dance party you could create?
You want someone to open fire, sure. Chris and Yankton, by the way, we found some outtakes. You know, the Obama bin Laden, see, I did it again.
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden bloopers.
Yes.
And we found some of them yesterday because he flubbed his lines a lot and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know why we keep being the first show that gets all these. This one, very surprising. Who knew he had such a temper?
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
Oh, he had a potty mouth, too.
Yeah, he sure did. That must have been a really bad take. Thank you, Chris and Yankton, for sending that one along.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Marvin, how to shut right-wingers up. I love this story. This is Steph, recently I was at a party where most everyone there was Republican. It didn't take long before the small talk focused on the president and why he shouldn't get any credit for getting Osama bin Laden.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I let them get it all out of their system, and then I asked to speak. I simply said, what if Osama bin Laden had been tipped off and shot down the helicopters and killed the SEALs? Whose fault would it have been? You could hear crickets. Then I said, if you are willing to blame the president for a failure, you give him credit for the success. It's as simple as that. Needless to say, nobody wanted to talk politics after that.
Yeah.
Good boy, Marvin. That's a good one.
Let's give the boy a hand.
Yeah. Can you only imagine if it was another Black Hawk Down? I mean, just, it really is incredible.
Yeah.
They will not give him any credit.
Right.
And I was, by the way, it's so tiring being the smartest person in every room, Chris.
What?
According to an NBC poll, 80% of Americans said it was the right decision to kill the bin Laden rather than not capture him, which is what I said. Because Jim was one of the, we should have captured trial.
Whatever.
All right. And then
F that.
Yeah. And I was listening to my main hoa, Randy Rhodes, talk about how it really is incredibly smart what the president did. Not, again, like whatever high percent, two-thirds, I think, of the American people agree with him on not releasing the pictures.
Yeah.
And now, in retrospect, that looks even smarter. I mean, I think these videos are even a better idea.
Yeah.
You know, rather than inflaming people, first of all, it just proves the case even more. But then it just makes them look silly and not as all-powerful.
And also, Al-Qaeda's confirmation that he'd been killed. I think that kind of did it for me. You know, I didn't need to see the pictures after that.
Yeah, well, that's a little sad. Like I said yesterday, that the right wing believes Al-Qaeda before the president.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that Al-Qaeda has credibility, clearly. All right. And then this last letter, Chris, just because it's a very rare fan letter for you.
Which
This is like, I mean, when does that happen? Hi, Steph. In addition to subscribing to your podcast, I've typed Stephanie in the box for Pro Flowers, Carbonite, and Cedarside.
Sweet.
Goodbye, Chris. As an aside, I also want to say how much of a Chris LaVoie fan I am.
Huh?
Wow.
What?
You almost have to frame it. That's like... What? In addition to being an excellent producer. Huh?
What?
He serves as a ballast by being a Ricky to your Lucy. You do make me do a lot of splaying, which I don't enjoy, but he seems like a nice guy.
Confused says
no, I'm a bastard.
Trustworthy, funny, and not vapid like so many of the boys. I only wish I knew someone like him, but what do I know? Off air, he could be a real terror. Yes.
Computer says, yeah.
Bruce, listen to me. He is a nightmare of the highest proportions off air. You don't you don't even know. Melanie in Toronto, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mel.
Morning, Steph.
Good morning, baby.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, you know.
Fantastic, yeah. All right. And the glasses are hilarious, by the way. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm just really tired of the people that are calling and, you know, why did you come here? Why, I am driving from Toronto to come see you in Syracuse.
Oh, yay! Yay!
Okay, that's what I got for my birthday.
Good girl.
All right.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And awesome seats.
Oh, good. Awesome. All right, now we'll see you Saturday.
So I will be wrapped around hell.
Yes, you will. And who will? You'll have to make room for you, but thank you. To clear a little space.
Yeah.
all right. Yeah, and don't forget, some of the proceeds go to the marriage equality fight there. Very important in New York. And every show is different, by the way. So you can be a Steph head like this woman. You can go to different shows because it's always pulled freshly from my ass.
Yes.
It's topical. It's local.
This is the What the Frack show.
Exactly. 17 minutes after the hour. Exactly.
Yes.
We're going to light some frack water on fire, and we got a whole thing planned. 17 minutes after the hour, which I'll know as soon as I write it on the Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkin on the way there.
It's a long flight to Syracuse.
Yes. Got plenty of time. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. You may be right. I may be crazy. You may be wrong. But all I know that you may be right.
Former Congressman Alan Grayson coming up. We will once again face the Grayson in just a few minutes.
Yes.
Oh, I miss him. All this Republican overreach, it's my fantasy. You know, Governor Russ Feingold of Wisconsin and future Congressman Alan Grayson, maybe Governor, maybe Senator, who knows? All right. Shouldn't Rick Scott be in, prison? Prison? Shouldn't he be in prison?
Yeah. You know, I saw a picture of Rick Scott over the weekend.
Skeletor?
Well, he looks like, but he also looks like the evil preacher from Poltergeist 2.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Jay in Toronto, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jay.
Oh, hi, Jay.
Jay.
Did I say hi, Jay? Hi,
yes.
Stephanie.
Okay.
Stephanie,
I just
wanted to also introduce myself as the official Muslim supporter in Toronto, Canada.
Thank you.
Hooray.
Of the Stephanie Miller Show. And yes, I'm from Pakistan, and I've been hearing mispronunciations of Abbottabad. It's not that at all. It's actually Abbott, as in the British name Abbott.
Right.
Abbott. And the way that people say it in Pakistan is actually Abtabad.
Abtabad.
Yeah, you know what? We had another Pakistani woman call, and but you know what? It's just more fun to say it the way the president did. Just saying.
Yeah, because there's a song.
I know it's supposed to be Abbottabad, but
Abbottabad.
It's more funny.
Abbottabad.
Sounds like a bop. Okay. All right. Penny in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hi, Penny.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Well, I'm very excited that you're coming to Raleigh-Durham, and I am bringing my 82-year-old mother and both my 14- and 16-year-old sons to the show.
Oh, I think that. I think we'll
14
be
14 is fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, come on, they've been listening to you since they're 11.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, well.
I'm not sure that's good parenting.
That makes me question your parenting skills, but...
No, you remember when you did the TV show, they actually missed the school bus to watch you on the show when you filled in for Inez.
Oh, well, you know what? They're obviously going to grow up and be fine Americans. They clearly...
Yeah.
No, it's my mom, it's not the age part, it's the politics part. I don't think she'll enjoy.
Exactly. I understand. My mom actually is, you know, she's a liberal Jew from New York, so she's right in there.
I listen.
I'd love to watch Hal T. Bag you on stage.
She's my sweet spot. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Penny.
All right.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I bought you a ticket to go watch Hal T. Bag Stephanie on stage. Her mom sounds delighted.
Yeah.
She's probably going to be yelling. Let's not politics. Let's get to the live sex acts.
You know you're going to have to do that at every stop now.
Well, it's a public service. You had to show me because I don't, as you know, leave my house.
Right.
So every time some term comes up, I'm like, what is that? And then you show me, and it's like, ew.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you didn't know that tossing salad had another meaning.
Oh, come on, now.
We had to teach you that.
Oh, God, I'm such an elderly shut-in. I went out last night.
I know.
It was very confusing and bewildering for me. I'm not used to. I went to see the official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, Betty, who is. They're just fabulous. They were at we went to a club in Hollywood and watched. I watched music. Music that was made after 1940, whatever, my old jazz things I usually play.
Your standards, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
All right. By the by, I saw this story. I don't know if anybody heard this on NPR, but first of all, this is one of the reasons they should not cut funding. Mm-hmm. The kind of historical stuff, they did these, Morning Edition aired this vignette, the words of Beverly Eckert recalling the time she spent on the phone with her husband, Sean Rooney, just before he died in the collapsing World Trade Center. And this is why I was trying to explain that. I know some people are like, oh, you guys are celebrating too much, or you're spiking the football over Osama bin Laden. And if you knew people like her, like I did in New York, I'm sorry. It is interesting. People are going, oh, are you celebrating this too much, or are you? But this guy was pure evil. And if you hear all these really human stories, but it was heartbreaking. It's that thing that we all put our, you would have in your mind, like, what would you say to someone?
Right.
If you knew it was like the last time you were going to talk to them, the last 40 minutes you were alive. Anyway, but her simple description of what happened, how much she loved her husband, how they comforted each other over the phone before they, as they both realized that he had no escape, landed like an existential sledgehammer. There was like a double tragedy. She didn't live to hear the news of bin Laden's death. She died in a plane crash 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know. We all heard these different stories from 9/11, but he was 50 years old, working for a financial services firm in New York. He called Beverly her office. The first plane had already hit the North Tower. A few minutes later, when she'd arrived at their home in Connecticut, they spoke again. He was on the 105th floor. The air was thickening. I asked if it hurt for him to breathe. He paused for a minute and said no. She said he loved me enough to lie. The two then stopped talking about escape routes and reminisced about their life together. They stayed on the line for a half an hour. Then I heard a sharp crack, she said, followed by the sound of an avalanche. It was the building beginning to collapse. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
She said all she could do was hold the phone to her heart. More than 7 years later, she was flying to Buffalo to be with her husband's family on what would have been his 58th birthday, and her plane stalled. It crashed because of icing problems, and everybody aboard died. But it's just,
I remember that crash.
Yeah. But, I mean, those are the stories that, I don't even think it's celebration. I think it's just justice 10 years delayed for people like that.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't imagine having to live through that. I know. I talked to Ted Olson. He talked to his wife, Barbara, who was on the plane that hit the Pentagon, and what that was like. What it was like having those conversations. And it's just...
And knowing that there was a certain death ahead. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
You can't even imagine.
No.
I have no one to call. I'd have to call you, and you probably wouldn't care. You wouldn't even pick up.
No, I'd be on the phone immediately to Hal Sparks to book Monday's show.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Alan Grayson next.
Who is the most beloved person on television?
Not Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, you never get over it, old love. You know what I'm saying? It all seems new again every time I say, good morning, Alan Grayson.
Good morning. I keep calling you because it's toll free.
Now, that is love, my friend. so many reasons I wanted to talk to you, but you hear all the scuttlebutt. The headline is Alan Grayson eyeing a comeback. Be still my heart. Are you thinking about it?
I never left.
That's right. That's right. You've been working hard behind the scenes.
Well, yes. In fact, I take credit for the... No, I better not say that. That's going to get me in trouble.
Well,
the you know what, working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what?
You know, Alan, it seems like one of the reasons, you know, that your message is still so resonating with people is that there has been really an unprecedented amount of overreach on the Republican side and an unprecedented backlash, I think, in my history of watching electoral politics. What do you think?
Well, they just haven't changed. The fact that they're in power, out of power, has no effect at all on their thinking. You know, whatever it is that's going on in the real world, they have only one imperative, and that's to make the rich richer.
Yeah.
And that's it. So if they have the power to do it, that's great. If they don't, then they act like they do.
Well, boy, this Paul Ryan budget is kind of a gift to us politically, isn't it? Because, you know, that's not AstroTurf anger at those town halls, is it?
Well, the really surprising thing is that here you have a bunch of politicians who actually tell the truth for once and say what's on their minds, and we all go screaming, ah!
Yeah.
That's really what they want to do. But, yes, that is really what they want to do. They want to eliminate the Medicare guarantee. There is a reason why we call it an entitlement, because you're entitled to it, and the Republicans want to change that. They want to change it so that you're no longer entitled to get the medical care you need to stay healthy and to stay alive. You just get a piece of paper, a voucher, with sharply declining value.
You know, Alan, that's exactly what I was going to say. I hear from so many of my listeners exactly what you just said. That's why they call it an entitlement, because we are entitled to it. We paid for it. That's our money. You know, that's tax money, right?
And for what? You know, his plan actually doesn't result in a balanced budget for the next 20 years.
Right.
And that's according to his own numbers. Then he had an arithmetic error of $100 billion in there.
Right.
So what's the point of it? Why do we want to cheat our seniors? Why do we want to cheat our poor people? For what purpose? It's not going to actually result in anything useful that anybody will recognize as useful, except for the fact that it cuts taxes further on the rich.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, you resonate because you so tell it like it is. And, you know, our friends on the right accuse you of being over the top. But you said, you know, the House Republican budget plan, you wonder how many children the bill is going to kill. There's no compromise, no middle ground between life and death. And that's exactly right.
Well, I'm hoping to actually improve on that. I want to tell like it's going to be. I'm hoping that people will see it the same way and recognize that the Republican Party is basically out to get them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, I don't think anything could make it clearer than Paul Ryan's budget. I mean, like you say, it literally is writing down what we've been saying. I mean, these are their priorities. Let's destroy Medicare and so that we can give rich people even more tax cuts than they have now.
Yes, and the delight that they took in cutting and cutting and cutting, they only cut the part of the budget that actually helps ordinary people.
Yeah.
You didn't see them cutting anything out of the military budget.
You know, your home state of Florida, particularly egregious in that you were talking on MSNBC the other week about Rick Scott adopting the mandatory drug testing for public employees, and he owns the clinics that these tests would take place in.
That's right, and the main line of work of these 35-odd clinics that he owns all through the state is, in fact, drug testing. So he's forcing state employees to get tested for drugs at their own expense, and they're not going to have anywhere to go except his own clinics.
I mean, it's stunning, and I loved your line. You said you're glad Rick Scott's company doesn't do proctological exams, because then we'd all have to bend over and cough.
That's right. It's something. I mean, they're trying to, the Republican Party of Florida and the Republican Party more generally is trying to turn us into a third world country. This is the sort of thing that you might see in Peru.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Dominican Republic, but you wouldn't expect to see it in Florida or the United States.
Alan, were you, I have to say, you know, I never think I can be surprised by our friends on the right, but were you surprised at the bin Laden reaction? Because you're thinking, how can anyone as an American not think this is a great thing for America and give the president, you know, all the credit for something that is so long in coming? And yet, it's been incredible, hasn't it?
Well, look, 2 years ago I gave a speech on the floor and I said that if the president ended world hunger, they'd blame it for overpopulation. And I went on and on like that for a little while, and then I pointed out that if he had a BLT sandwich, they'd try to ban bacon. And then the next day he won the Nobel Prize and they made it all come true.
Yeah.
It was actually the next day that he won the Nobel Prize, and they started to criticize him for that.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, in politics, you sort of get used to it after a while. Whatever you do is wrong, at least from the other side's point of view. And they're really malevolent about it. You know, they'll go to the point of making stuff up to try to make you look bad. And they do that with the president nonstop, and they did it even before he was sworn in.
Well,
I mean, from the time that he became the plausible Democratic candidate right up until the present moment, they've been just basically coming up with stuff to try to use against him, in the hope that people will be fooled by that. They have a very low opinion of the intelligence of the American public. That's why they can keep nattering for 2 or 3 years about the president's so-called birth certificate issue.
What I was saying just before the break, Alan, is what I think one of the saddest moments I've seen for America is then right on the heels of the birther thing, there's the deather thing, that they didn't believe that Osama bin Laden was dead until Al-Qaeda said it. And I'm like, what has happened in this country where the leader of the free world has less credibility than the terrorist organization that this guy was a part of?
Well, what this shows is that the terrorist organization has more credibility than the opponents of the leader of the free world.
Yeah. You wrote a great thing about being on a plane recently, speaking of terrorism and all that, and you asked a woman if she'd watch your bag while you went to the bathroom, and she said, "How do I know you're not a terrorist?"
Yeah, this was actually a year or so after 9/11, and it pointed out to me how traumatized ordinary people had become, where you'd be sitting in an airport and ask somebody to help you out, just watch your bags, and that's the answer that you get. And I'm just hoping that now that bin Laden is dead, we can get past that. I think that we were all traumatized by it, especially our leaders. Our leaders acted like they were bitch-slapped for years and years, and that led to two wars that destroyed the economy and to this day continue to drain it.
Right.
I mean, you know, the Republicans proposed cutting $60 billion from this year's budget. The Democrats responded by offering to cut $30 billion. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan cost $175 billion in appropriated funds and about five times as much in non-appropriated funds.
Yeah.
It's wasted. There's an enormous, staggering amounts of waste in those expenditures, and they don't do anything to meet human needs, to invest in education or in other tangible means. They do nothing to help the economy. And it's gone. The money's gone. It's dropped into the sands of Mesopotamia, the mountains of Bactria. It's gone. And what happens is that they argue over minuscule nonsense without coming to grips with the real issues. Now that bin Laden's dead, maybe we can come to grips with the real issues, where the money's actually going.
Well, I mean, and you've talked about this a lot. Maybe you're as astonished as I am. And I'm trying to give George Bush the credit for this when you're going. He has been proven wrong, the Bush administration, on pretty much each and every issue, hasn't he? I mean, you know, this is exactly what the president ran on, is finishing the job, in Afghanistan. I mean, we took our eyes off the ball for this unbelievably ridiculous war in Iraq. And I think the president is doing exactly what he said, and yet they're still trying to give George Bush credit for something that he didn't accomplish.
Well, it's amazing to me to see how short people's memories are. You know, he cut the Army Corps of Engineers Louisiana budget by 43%, and a few months later, Hurricane Katrina drowned New Orleans.
Yep.
And nobody even talks about that anymore. One of the greatest tragedies, an unavoidable tragedy, one of the greatest tragedies in American history, and he doesn't seem to even get credit or blame for that anymore. It's as if it's gone. It's receded into the mists of the past, and the past seems to be a foreign country itself.
Well, and, you
People
know, those,
forget about it.
Those
and
of us that look at the congressional record can go, you know, Senator Landrieu was on the Senate floor, I'm not sure how many times, is it somewhere in the 40s or 50s, screaming for more money for the levies, that she needed more money for the levy. I mean, you're right. It's even this latest thing, Alan, proves that the Bush administration was completely wrong. Remember I don't spend much time on him. Oh, he's been marginalized. He's in a cave somewhere. He's just a figurehead. And, you know, once again, completely wrong. I mean, he's still running the whole organization from this place.
Well, yes, but should we really be spending $1 trillion a year trying to defeat someone who is living in a suburban home roughly 8,000 miles from our shore? It seems like a step down from defeating the Luftwaffe, doesn't it?
I mean, but this does kind of lend credence to, I think, Joe Biden really has been the one arguing for the kind of special operations that we just did rather than, yeah, full-scale military.
It was a special operation that changed the Afghan government. We sent in only 1,000 troops into Afghanistan when the Taliban were dug in and actually running the country when they were playing defense. And we sent in 1,000 troops, and we were able to remove them. Why could we possibly need 100,000 troops to keep them out? It doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
It's not logical.
Yeah.
But the country has to see that. I mean, you know, whatever you may think about George Bush, he did, first of all, introduce us to the concept of $4 a gallon gasoline, the Texas oil man. And secondly, got us used to the idea of perpetual war.
Yeah.
You know, I have 5 children. My middle child is 10 years old. He's never been around at a time when we've been at peace.
Yeah.
How long is this going to go on?
Yeah.
How long are people going to accept this? Just because it's a volunteer army doesn't mean that we all volunteered to be in a state of perpetual war that destroys the economy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think it was, of all people, Peggy Noonan, who actually said that, you know, all these spontaneous demonstrations in the streets, she said, you know, they're celebrating a return to competence. I mean, I think that, you know, they were kids when 9/11 happened. And you're right. All they've known is these endless wars, which I agree with you. I think, like, we can get out of now. You know, I mean, it's. You know, it's been a long time in coming, but I think that you're absolutely right, and I hope that the Republicans will not try to block the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
You know, when I was being forced by the media to listen to all the teabaggers in the past couple of years, I was waiting for one of them, just one, to say, where does it say in the Constitution that we're allowed to occupy foreign countries?
Yeah.
Where does it say that? It doesn't.
Right.
In fact, the Constitution doesn't even contemplate a standing army, much less an army standing in Baghdad. We are so far beyond anything that anyone ever does anymore. You know, the British gave it up in the 40s. The French gave it up in the 50s. The Portuguese gave it up in the 70s. The Russians were forced to give it up in the 80s. And here we are still doing it 20, 30 years later. Occupying foreign countries and letting them bleed us to death.
Yep, yep. Yep. On top of, you know, again, these tax cuts for the rich. So anyway, we will. I wish you were still in there in the trenches, but I know you'll be back. Former Congressman Alan Grayson, I love you and always will. We'll talk.
Same.
All right, we'll talk soon. There he goes, Alan Grayson. He has like the most popular YouTube page of any congressman. Did you know that?
Oh, sure.
Man, he just cuts right to it.
Because he says things like bitch slap and teabag on
exactly.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Exactly.
Love that.
47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Paula Cole gone.
More importantly,
yeah.
52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. David in Washington State. Hey, David. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. I'm so excited you guys are coming to Seattle. Anyways, that treasure trove of hard drives and thumb drives and CDs, that's essentially Al-Qaeda's propaganda contained in those computer files.
Right.
Don't you say?
Yeah, yeah.
And so all countries that have been involved in this war on terror are all involved in playing all of us with propaganda. I mean, I'm glad we got Osama bin Laden for better or for worse, but this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, they're saying it's the size of, what did they say, a small college library.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, and the other day I was thinking about WikiLeaks and how, okay, you know, one of our guys, you know, put, you know, connected the dots and saw that what we were doing in Iraq and Afghanistan was illegal. Even though it might sound controversial to say that, but when you compare what WikiLeaks is trying to do and this treasure trove of Al-Qaeda propaganda,
yeah.
My God, that's like a huge story right there.
And David, by the by, I know we're just speculating now, but beside the fact that George Bush was completely incompetent at getting bin Laden for all these years, how much you want to bet he would have dropped a bunker buster bomb on this place and we would never have gotten this this trove of information? I mean, Obama made the gutsy call. He made the riskier call.
He did.
Yeah.
He really did. And look at the Bush administration. My Linus Bush falling over each other, trying to rewrite history, and Cheney calling their torture program that program.
Yeah.
You know, and not,
yeah,
and not mentioning the torture thing, conveniently.
Yeah. I mean, really unbelievable. You'd think after you've just been proven to be completely incompetent boobs, you would just hush for a moment.
Sure.
Shut your creepy, crooked pie hole for a minute. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go! Kilmeade and the Gretchen Carlson.
Some people are saying, well, who gets the $25 million now that Bin Laden's been captured? Who dropped the dime that allowed us to go in there and kill him? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is nobody. So that leaves $25 to $50 million sitting in escrow.
Are That's you right. sure that's nobody?
It looks like it's nobody.
That's
I haven't
right, because,
heard any reports because...
Well, actually, you could argue that it's one of those dudes that was waterboarded.
Oh my God.
She sits there on national television and lies.
Yeah, this is the problem. This is just what Dick Cheney and others are trying to do. You can't, I mean, first of all, there are people that have like Dianne Feinstein, who's in the head of the Intelligence Committee, who has said this was not a drive-through torture, and they're allowing people to rewrite it.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the guys that was waterboarded. I mean, the people involved in this have said definitively this it came from standard interrogation.
Yep.
Yeah, this is the story I was just reading. Cheney defends torture. Blah, blah. The most important steps we took that kept us safe for 7 years. Again, I love this one. Who is it that Chris Matthews had on? But he was like... Why you say that you kept the country safe, but yet the worst security failure in our history happened on your watch? How are you? I don't. That's what I mean. It's like this whole kept the country safe except for the one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one time that counts.
Anyway, many former Bush administration officials have falsely credited torture tactics leading up to the raid on Osama bin Laden. Cheney went further by insisting torture was the key policy that kept the country based on nothing.
Nothing. Based on what John Yoo says.
Yeah. All right. Mark Thiessen on Fox and Friends.
The critics of this program are just twisting themselves in knots, trying to deny that the CIA interrogations had anything to do with the bin Laden operation. They've sort of become like the new birthers. No matter how much evidence is put out there, they won't accept the truth.
You see why it's a right-wing world? It's like a pineapple upside-down world?
Yeah.
Okay.
It gives you a headache in your eye, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Michael Steele on the Situation Room.
One event does not, a foreign policy guru make. I mean, you know, the reality of it is you've got a hesitancy in dealing with Libya. You've got a hesitancy in dealing with Afghanistan. What is the strategy in Afghanistan beyond leaving? I mean, we have no idea what we're going to leave behind or what the strategy is going to be to get us to get out of there cleanly so we don't have to go back.
Yes. Oh, I see. George Bush did it all much better,
right,
foreign policy-wise. He got us into Afghanistan and then didn't accomplish the objective of going into Afghanistan, which President Obama just accomplished.
And then got sidetracked by going into something that was completely unrelated.
I see. But killing bin Laden, actually finishing the job, that doesn't make him that's no big deal now.
No.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him a
would have been a big deal
if
George Bush did it, I'm just guessing.
Oh, yes. There would have been ticker tape parades.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Andrew Napolitano in for Beck.
Behind all the celebrations, America's economy is still sputtering. Unemployment has ticked up back north of 9%. The national debt is pushing past $14.3 trillion. And the Federal Reserve shows no sign of ending its century-long war on the dollar. But that didn't stop the president from taking an Osama victory lap at Ground Zero and elsewhere last week. His goal must be to distract the American people from the economic reality we all face, which includes gasoline at $4 a gallon.
Look over here. Look over here. It's not that big a deal, Bin Laden. Don't look over there.
Gas prices are
the bigger deal.
Look
at the bad news. Look, don't look over there. You watch Fox News all the time.
Yes,
can
I
you
do.
Even imagine... I bet you they had graphics and they had like 24/7 programming ready to roll if George Bush had gotten bin Laden.
Well,
that's all they would have talked about.
There are reports of the plans that the Bush administration drew up in case they got bin Laden.
Yes. And telling you, ticker tape parade for days around Manhattan, and then he would have climbed up the Empire State Building like King Kong. And then
with a bullhorn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Representative John Yarmuth and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, Saturday in Syracuse. Come on out and join us. Ticketmaster for all the upcoming shows. Raleigh, Durham, Minneapolis, Boston, et cetera. Much more to be announced
right.
Shortly.
There may have been a little slip last hour.
Some things have slipped out.
Yeah.
This is not a Navy SEAL operation
no,
here.
No, it's not.
No.
Not by any means. We got loose lips here.
Oh, there goes another ship.
Yeah. All right. But, yeah, join us at the Carl Heinz Theater in Syracuse on Saturday.
Carl Heinz?
Exactly.
You're saying so Germans in upstate New York?
All right.
Where is my pyramid? I can walk.
Okay. All right. We have much more to get to. Tuesdays with Tyler coming up. Aisha Tyler joins us live in studio. Yay!
Yay! Charlie Pierce a little bit later on this hour.
Indeed. All right. One of our very personal favorites joins us now, Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie. You'd always be welcome in Louisville.
Hey, listen.
Now we got the Derby out of the way.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a long shot that won, wasn't it? It
certainly was.
What was his name?
The Animal Kingdom.
Animal
That's
Kingdom
right.
won.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, I'm going to have to pack a funny hat next year.
Sponsored by Mutual of Omaha?
Yeah.
Congressman, you know, I was reading your statement on the death of bin Laden. You say, while we hear so much about what divides this country, there's no question with this historic victory, America stands united as one. Some people on the right didn't get the memo, did they, on that?
No, including our former vice president.
Yeah.
Who is, in my opinion, a disgrace to the uniform he never wore.
Yeah.
I mean, what he's doing now, the state, first of all, I understand he's trying to rewrite history. That's been his crusade since he left office. But to say that the president of the United States is not capable of defending the country, I mean, what kind of message does that send to the 100,000 troops in Afghanistan, the people who just risked their lives in getting Osama, all of those people? I mean, that's an outrageous comment, and he ought to apologize for it immediately.
Well, particularly when a president who did the job you didn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
Finished the job that you didn't finish.
Jeez.
I mean, exactly. You feel like you're in just some sort of parallel universe where you go, they're using getting bin Laden, the world's number one terrorist, to further make the case that he's not good on terror?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, this is a guy who just should keep his mouth shut like George Bush has done, and you know.
Well,
just,
I mean, I sometimes...
You have nothing to say.
I sometimes feel like, did I miss something? But, I mean, are they not saying the opposite of what you have heard? That, you know, whatever we got was gotten through standard interrogation. And there, as you say, there's Dick Cheney on TV saying, oh, no, it was torture. And this is why we need to continue to do this. I mean, I guess I'm just dumbfounded.
Well, and you know, the idea that they would have done what Barack Obama did, I mean, they would have stormed that palace or whatever that compound.
Yeah, yeah.
They would have blown all the intelligence up. It's just, you know, this was nothing short of brilliant, and I give everybody involved credit. And for them to in any way try to undermine the accomplishment or to use it in some way for their own personal vindication is disgraceful conduct.
Well, I mean, it is amazing to me the amount of second guessing where, you know, at least I look at the polling, Congressman, and I think I'm not crazy. You know, a new ABC poll, 80% of Americans say it was the right decision to kill bin Laden versus capture him. You know, two-thirds of the American people say he made the right decision in not releasing these photos. And, you know... Once again, it always seems like he pretty much just he not only makes the right decisions, but hits the right tone. I mean, I think that now that all this video has come out, and clearly Al-Qaeda has confirmed he's been killed, you realize, oh, that would be spiking the football and inflaming things unnecessarily showing these corpse pictures, don't you think?
Well, exactly. And not only that, can you imagine what people would do with that? I mean, there would be people like Jib Jab or some kind of commentary, taking that, animating the photos, doing stuff that would be truly insulting and inflammatory. So if you could control it, you could maybe make an argument, control the use of it, but you can't. And He made the absolute right choice.
Well, and absolutely, when you see these videos, Congressman, I mean, how smart is that? You go, you know, rather than making him a martyr and flaming the Muslim world, you're making him look as silly as he actually was. You know,
yeah,
pathetic old guy, you know, watching videos of himself and flubbing his lines. You know, I mean, that really was the smartest thing he could have done, isn't it?
True. Oh, well, of course, to tarnish that image, to, you know, there's no way to make a martyr out of him. Well, I mean, certain people will do anything, but it's much harder to make a martyr out of somebody who has proven to be basically like the Wizard of Oz.
Right. Well, and, you know, I have to say, right on the heels of this ridiculous birth certificate thing, I think I understood the president even better when he said, some people, it's not going to matter. They're, you know, the conspiracy theories, even if he released the pictures, they go, oh, that's doctored. No, that's not this. And, I mean, it's incredible how far off the edge they've gone, in my opinion. But anyway.
Yeah.
Congressman, we've got the budget fight coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you know, John Boehner is demanding, it's like we're in our next hostage crisis, demanding trillions of dollars in spending cuts.
The truly disingenuous part of this, or the most disingenuous part of it, because there are a lot of them, is the Republicans just passed a budget with $4 trillion worth of cuts.
Right.
They just rejected a budget with $9 trillion worth of cuts. So I don't know what he's talking about. They've taken a position. They've passed a budget which will add between $6 and $7 trillion to the national debt. You can't do anything but raise the debt ceiling because you make yourself look foolish.
Right.
Oh, we don't want to raise the debt ceiling, but we'll pass a budget with $6 trillion more dollars of debt anyway. I mean, it's just so intellectually dishonest. But again, they've just passed a budget that cut more than he's now demanding and rejected one which cuts even more.
Well,
so I don't know what he's talking about.
And they're also, his remarks were notable because it's impossible to produce spending cuts that size without addressing major benefit programs like Medicare. This comes a week after Cantor and obviously other top Republicans seem to acknowledge that the Paul Ryan's plan was dead on arrival. So what are they doing now? I'm confused.
I think they are kind of rudderless. I really believe that. I mean, this is an ideological crusade that many of their members are on. They're trying to somehow fashion a legislative agenda that fits their ideology. It's impossible to do. I just can't believe. I would love to have a conversation with those Wall Street people who were in that session yesterday and see whether that instilled confidence in them. You know, that would be. I was thinking, you know, that's like me going to MIT and giving a physics lecture.
Yeah.
What he did yesterday, and it was just, you know, he shouldn't talk about things that he doesn't know about.
Doesn't understand. I know.
Particularly the people who do know what they're talking about.
You know, and here we go again. A Treasury Department official under Clinton said, if America were to default, even for 24 hours, that would have an unprecedented and catastrophic impact on global financial markets and on American markets. You either default or you don't. There's no saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And that makes it totally different from a government shutdown. I mean,
it is far different than a government shutdown. I mean, the phrase that I'm using is, this would be like voting to foreclose on America if you vote against raising the debt ceiling. That's exactly what it is.
Right. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's something I think people understand. And plus, it would have a devastating effect on millions of Americans who have adjustable rate mortgages, who have, you know, have adjustable credit card rates, because interest rates would definitely spike if we were to do this. So,
yeah.
And the other thing, even doing this kind of manipulated payment scheme where we hold off on certain creditors, what that would mean, and I asked Ben Bernanke this in a hearing, is does that mean that we would be paying China before we paid our troops? And he said, yes, it would.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's pretty striking.
And obviously, we're seeing it at these town halls all over the place, Congressman. The reaction to the Paul Ryan plan. I mean, you know, people hugely, hugely, hugely against, you know, abolishing Medicare the way his plan calls for, and more tax cuts for the rich on top of the. I mean, and I'm looking at a headline right here: U.S. taxes at the lowest level since 1958.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the USA Today analysis shows if tax receipts today were at the level they were through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, that would eliminate one-third of the estimated $1.5 trillion deficit this year. I mean, their priorities are just so wrong.
Well, it's clear. And as we went through the budget process here on the Budget Committee, and we introduced amendments to cut the oil subsidies, and I introduced an amendment just to raise the tax back to the to the Clinton era level for people making just over $1 million. That would have been $350 billion added revenue, reducing the deficit over 10 years. They all rejected that. As far as they're concerned, you know, this is the Grover Norquist agenda. This is shrink government as far as you can do it. Don't tax anybody. And the American people get it. They know that this is not something that is either feasible or desirable. There was one study that came out just within the last couple of days that if the Republican budget, House budget, were approved in that Medicare plan, that if you were 54, you would have to add $182,000 to your IRA just to pay for the additional Medicare, your additional medical costs.
Mm-hmm. $180,000.
And so this is, it's just a plan that won't work. There are ways to, you know, we took some, I think, very sound approaches to the adjusting Medicare and the Affordable Care Act. Let's give them a chance to work. They already said, CBO said, we've extended the life of Medicare by 11 years just because of what we did last year.
Yeah.
What they're trying to do is, again, it just inflicts more pain on people who can't afford it.
Well, Congressman, I got to tell you, every time I talk to you, I feel your pain. I can't believe Mike Huckabee the other day made the same point I make all the time. He basically said Reagan would have a very difficult, if not impossible, time getting nominated today.
Right.
In the current Republican atmosphere. I mean, you know, that's something for a Republican to say that. He said, the anchor asked him how come. He said, because he raises taxes as a governor. He made deals with Democrats. He compromised on things in order to move the ball down the field. As president, he gave amnesty to 7 million illegal immigrants. I mean, you remember Bob Bennett, the Republican from Utah, said the same thing. Ronald Reagan would probably not recognize the description of Ronald Reagan that's coming out of a lot of the Tea Party blogs.
Precisely. And you don't even want to go to Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Who would be about as left-wing as it gets today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World,
I mean, but that's what I mean. How do you get anything done with a party that their point is not to get anything done? It's just, you know.
I know. I had a conversation with Rand Paul over the weekend. We were at Churchill Downs together. And, I know. Interesting. But we were talking about, you know, I brought it up talking about we just got to do something about the big money in politics because that's, you know, that's distorting everything that we're trying to, you know, that the American people need to have done. And he said, well, if you just eliminate the federal government or just reduced it to defense, then there wouldn't be that much money, wouldn't have that impact, which was an interesting way to look at it. But that's their spectrum. That's what they're looking at it.
Yeah.
Everything is answered by eliminating federal government.
Well, as usual, good luck. I see why you want to take time just to be on my show, just to have something else to do than deal with
them.
Just for
catharsis.
A few minutes.
This is catharsis for me.
Yeah.
Representative John Yarmuth, always a pleasure from the great
Thanks,
city of Kentucky.
Stephanie.
Thank you,
take
sir.
Care.
I think now I realize why people do our show. Just to get away from them for a little while.
Well, they are state mates,
if you
will.
Same reason so many people are going to the Sexy Liberal show.
Yeah.
Just to be inside, away from them. Okay.
I have a feeling they kind of have to get along somewhat because they're both from Kentucky.
Sure.
You know,
you're on my side of the state. Mom, he's touching me. He's on my side of the state.
How do you talk to Rand Paul without staring at his hair? That's what I wonder. Do you have to? Is it that thing you have to actively avert your eyes? You know, when someone has some weird thing, you're just like, don't look at it, don't look at it, don't look at it.
The only thing for that is to stand next to Donald Trump.
King segue, thank you. When we come back, finish up Right Wing World. There is nothing more entertaining than someone continuously trying to prove they're not racist.
Hugely not racist. Huge.
Wait, see how he proves it next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. John in Pennsylvania. Hi, John.
Hey, why were the Republicans, why wasn't GOP leadership whining this much when Scooter Libby was doing this thing with Valerie Plame? Why are they only whining and complaining about Vertical now?
Because they're a great big
right-wing hypocrites.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you know how when you're a great big racist, you're a questioning the president's birth certificate and saying he should get off his basketball court and Then you try to prove you're not a racist by saying, I have a great relationship with the blacks.
Yeah.
First of all, don't use the word the in front of the group that you're
the
trying
blacks,
not to offend.
The blacks love me, all of them.
Almost as much as
they're
the gays.
The same.
And the Jews. All right, so now he's apparently Jim the least racist person in the world because a black guy won The Apprentice 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it comes to racism and racist, I am the least racist person there is. And I think most people that know me would tell you that.
Sure.
I am the least racist. I've had great relationships. In fact, Randall Pinkett won on the, as you know, on The Apprentice
a
little while ago, a couple of years ago.
6 years.
And Randall's been outstanding in every way. So, I mean, I am the least racist person.
I'm the least. I'm hugely not racist.
See, some of the blacks, they're good.
I'm a million times less racist than, say, George Lincoln Rockwell.
Wow. Does he? That's the problem,
I
is
let
people
a black
don't
guy
realize
win.
That's
how
much
not
more
racist,
racist
I am. I let a black guy win.
Huge. Yeah, he let a black guy win.
He's been outstanding.
For black.
You could almost hear it in his thought bubble.
Yeah.
He's black. And I let him win.
Yeah, as black guys go, he's pretty good.
He's outstanding.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Okay.
That's why the blacks love me.
This, once again, we bring it magically from circle back to why the blacks love. I'm huge with the blacks.
Huge. Huge.
Huge. All right, Rush Limbaugh, to finish out the...
We have no enemy. Only opponents. Our opponents are accusing us and have for decades of wanting to kill old people. And again, now with Paul Ryan and Medicare. Our opponents have accused us of wanting to starve children.
Yes.
But the American left today, with their designs on this nation, are an enemy. True, they are opponents, but they're also an enemy.
What designs? What are you talking about?
I don't know. The only thing that makes it better for me is when you do that in the background.
What if Rush Limbaugh had
what
Brit
it is.
Hume
it's
as
just a vicious blubbering?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what he says. What? What if Rush Limbaugh had Brit Hume on as a guest?
Paul in Omaha,
set
you're
set it up and knock it out of the park.
There you go. Omaha, Paul in Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, Paul.
Hello. What gets me is he's Trump. It's not just saying, no, I'm not a racist because I'm not a black guy. He is, it's a competitive nature. He is always the least racist person.
Yeah. He's not just not racist. He's the least
racist
of all the not racist people in the world.
I really think it's time to ask him about penis size.
I really think it's time. You know, Donald, I'm just curious. If you have to have that many giant phallic-shaped buildings with your name on it.
Yes.
His penis is gold-plated.
Like a field mouse.
It's classy.
Hung like a field mouse.
He excretes class.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller
With
Show.
With Charlie Pierce.
Ah!
To be beloved. Who is the most beloved person on television?
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim, I haven't guessed the quote for you. Who said Barack Obama is one efficient, steely nerve, multitasking black ninja gangster president?
Jay-Z.
No.
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher.
Yeah. That was awesome.
It's true. Hey, it's Tuesday, everybody. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Whee! Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
I'm in the mood for Newt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could tell. I knew you were going to be too excited.
Oh, my goodness. Does Big Baby Jesus love me? I am his favorite. I am Big Baby Jesus' favorite political commentator.
He is, oh, boy, the excitement is almost too much. He's going to announce tomorrow, right?
A very large fish in a very small barrel.
Yes, 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 yes.
He will, this will also come as a shock to you. He'll give his first interview on Fox News.
Yeah, to Sean Hannity.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Some say he will be giving his first interview on Fox News.
Yes, I'm sure somehow the questions about his previous infidelities will be lost somehow in the...
In the New York Times this morning, we heard nothing but the fact of what a plucky little stormtrooper the current Mrs. Gingrich is.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be his secret weapon as long as you don't point out that she's the third Mrs. Gingrich.
Right.
And that he was diddling her while he was still married to the second Mrs. Gingrich.
Yeah, she was the mistress.
Jeez.
I mean, dumped wife.
He has the same number.
He dumped wife number one when she got cancer. He dumped wife number two when she got MS. I hope Callista doesn't sneeze.
Yes, well,
because otherwise Newt's out at the lot looking for a new model.
Hey,
also I hope she doesn't age. That seems to be a factor too.
She's apparently engaged the Army Corps of Engineers to fight against that because I think there's some work done there.
Yeah.
He has the same number of wives as Bin Laden. Isn't that interesting? But
far more chins.
Yeah, he would need all three of them to be a human shield because he's a little large. Anyway, my point is...
stop it.
Oh, Charlie Pierce.
This is a big day for me. I've been missing the definer of the rules of American civilization. See, you don't understand that because you haven't studied the Newtster's career like I have.
No.
During his second divorce action, not his first divorce action, which was by the bedside of his... cancer-stricken wife.
Mm-hmm.
Second one was actually in court. His wife testified that Newt used to doodle things like definer of the rules of American civilization.
Wow.
The way I used to doodle things like Mr. Diana Rigg on my trapper keeper.
Oh, boy. This Republican field just gets funner and funner, doesn't it?
Oh, man. I'm telling you what. I honestly believe he looked at the right slash crazy side of the Republican Party and said, it needs a little more gravitas.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the Bush family is trying to push Jeb into running.
Jeb is sitting there looking at 2016 and saying, and not taking Barr's phone call.
Yeah.
And Chris Christie, of course, the Governor Soros from New Jersey, all the folks from Iowa came to try to talk him into running.
Well, that's terrific because if he runs, he's not going to win. He's not going to carry New Jersey.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Barack Obama won't even have to campaign in New Jersey.
Yeah. He said, I'm a kid from Jersey who's asking him to run for president. I'm thrilled by it. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, but I think if he campaigns in Iowa, we would be treated to the spectacle of Chris Christie in overalls.
And it would
take a lot of all to be overall that, let me tell you. But seriously, folks.
Who wins that pie-eating contest, him or Huckabee? It's hard to say.
Oh, no, Huckabee's, kept it off a little bit. I think you put he and Newt on the same thing, though, and you might wind up with Mr. Creosote.
A wafer thin mint.
I will throw up.
So, Stephanie, what did you really want to talk about today?
Oh, I don't. It doesn't even matter at this point. No, we were saying, I mean, it's just, I have to say, even for me, I'm surprised at this continuing reaction on Bin Laden on either the Bush administration trying to take credit for it, like Cheney, or, saying Obama had nothing to do with it, or literally it was bad, I mean, we had one Bush administration person say it was a bad thing. To kill him.
Well, I have to say this because when I was a baby political reporter at the Boston Phoenix back in the late 70s, early 80s, Andy Card was a really good guy. He was one of these classic, New England moderate Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know, the pod, he fell asleep one night and the pods got him.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of because he's Obama was pounding his chest. Didn't Andy Card pretty much do everything but install the codpiece?
Yeah. Yes. That might have been his job.
I think
too.
He might have orally. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was when he accomplished actually nothing.
Exactly.
At that point. Yeah.
Including landing the airplane, I might add.
Yeah.
He didn't even land that airplane.
Well, no, he was Air Force. He couldn't land it on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, he was like he was
even
eight.
Even if he had showed up for the Air National Guard.
The only thing he went up in during his time in the Air National Guard was an elevator, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love
it. And it wasn't in Alabama, I might add.
Yeah, I love that the actual story was more like he was like that eight-year-old they let in the cockpit to see the pilot. I got to be in there.
You're like Gladiator movies, George.
Did I see the grown man naked?
I'm just queuing up Jim Ward today. This is great.
Yeah, I know. Just
it's like karaoke Jim Ward. I just opened the book. And
that's right.
You know, the problem is whether it's the you know, the Bin Laden stuff, torture, what they just don't care if it's based in any fact or I mean, WorldNet Daily. I had to laugh. They're doubling down on birtherism. It's like deatherism isn't working out, and they're back to
they have to keep Joseph Farrar in mustache wax somehow.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a WorldNet Daily. What's his name? Farrar.
Mm-hmm. Farrar.
Yeah. He declared last night on his website.
Tom Brokaw will never do an interview with him. He'll never get through the introductions.
Farrar.
He said his website will be presenting what I believe is compelling new evidence that Obama is not only ineligible to be president, but the document released by the White House is fraudulent because they have that new book out, Where's the Birth Certificate, which I guess is going to be released next week.
It's the book?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we might want to work on the title a little bit here, huh? Well, you know, something like, oh, so there's the birth certificate.
Yeah, never mind. Like that. Just amended title.
I think they're trying to prove the state of Hawaii doesn't exist.
Farrah concludes the birther cover-up could make Watergate pale by comparison. I don't know what website this is. I'm looking forward to all this blowing over so we can read Corsi's next book, Why We'll Never Catch Bin Laden. This is the problem. Like, the Dick Morrises of the world, they just don't care if they're wrong. They still keep getting invited on TV and
write
books.
Wrong is the new right.
What was that book? Why it's going to be Condi versus Hillary in 2000?
Condi and Hillary,
right. Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, Liz Cheney came, you know, staggering from the crypt this weekend.
She did. And she's trying to outflank her dad. Her dad gave Obama a little bit of credit for getting Obama or Osama.
Yeah.
And Liz Cheney can't.
Man, I'll tell you what, that Osama-Obama thing.
I know, yeah. Tell me about it.
It's unbelievable. I listened to poor Tom Hartman a couple weeks ago. He just gave up after a while.
Yeah.
Started calling him the president and Bin Laden.
Yeah, you got to just go with Bin Laden, because I know. It's.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, they played a montage of people that have made that mistake.
I love the fact that he's a listener. Yeah. I really do.
Yes, I totally listen every week.
Now, Charlie, did you see this kind of hilarious, the Hasidic paper edited Hillary Clinton out of the White House photo?
I saw that.
She just poof. She disappeared.
Now, have you seen that? Did they leave the laptop?
Did they what?
Is the laptop still there?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't check that closely.
You know,
it'd
be weird if there was this kind of open laptop just sitting there. Nobody's
sitting in front of it. At first, I thought they'd replaced her with a man.
Right.
But no, they just airbrushed her completely out.
Right. Yeah.
Like Stalin used to do.
dropped in Madeleine Albright. No, that's...
see what you did there, Charlie.
it's an ultra-Orthodox Hasidic...
Do they do that for every photo? I mean, do they do that for, like, their movie ads, too?
I don't know. Actually,
because,
the other woman...
borrowed wouldn't be much of a movie ad.
It doesn't look like the kind of paper that would carry movie ads, let's just say.
I remember
Yentl.
I was in Cotter one time before we turned it into an aircraft carrier, and they had MASH on, whenever two people were going to kiss, they dropped in stock footage of people surfing.
Really? That is weird.
I love this, though.
I think it was sort of like, you know, the waves breaking on the shore in the old romantic movies, you know?
You know, I have to say, the newspaper thought it was sexually suggestive. I don't know who in the free world would think that's a sexually suggestive picture.
Well, you don't know. I mean, you know. Oh, see, now, right there in front of me in the air, just past my reach is a Vince Foster joke.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, there's a Bill Clinton joke.
Right there,
yeah.
Can't quite get it. Anyway.
It was Bill Clinton joke T-ball, and I just teed it up for you, and well, fine. Then fine, don't.
Bill hasn't been too visible in the last couple of weeks either, now that I think about it.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Okay. You know, I just thought, you know, because he was the original Bin Laden obsessive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think...
By the way, I think Bill Maher's right. Stop calling the place a mansion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not. I said it's a foreclosure in Fresno.
But the point people are making.
They don't have a neon sign out front that says rooms by the hour.
Yeah, totally.
I think the point people are making, it was just one more thing the Bush administration was completely wrong about. He wasn't in a cave and marginalized and, you know, completely a figurehead. I mean, he obviously was running it from
Again, Marr ran a great clip from Christiane Amanpour from 2008 who said, my sources tell me he's in a compound in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
a villa, she said.
A villa.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's not really a villa either, but I think she's closer to being right than being wrong.
Well, yeah, it looks more like a villa than any of the other houses around.
Yeah, that's how.
And Christiane knows villas, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, that's how bad the Bush administration was at intelligence. She said it on national television.
Yeah.
You didn't have to dig for it. Yeah.
Maybe they don't have on demand. You know, they missed it and they said, oh, well, I can't.
I missed it.
But I was very impressed, by the way, with the appearance of Rudy 9/11 again this weekend.
Yeah, didn't he just lose his whole issue? Now he's talking about getting in the race?
I saw that. Isn't that great? If someone asks him to get in the race, he'll run.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And if Charlize Theron asks me to go to Cannes with her next year, I probably will. But I'm not filling out the day planner, if you know what I mean.
Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America. Thank you, honey. See you next week.
Thank you, baby Jesus. Thank you for my newt.
All right, bye. That's what I got him for. Early birthday present. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes.
I'm pushing.
After the hour.
I'm on my back.
Are you the publisher of that that newspaper?
1-800. Step 1-2, the phone number.
Hey, there's a shiksen.
I know why we're giddy, because we're just moments from Tuesdays with Tyler.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm excited because she's liberal, and Jim's excited because she's sexy. So we're, you know, I'm excited comedically, and we're just all a titter. All right. Oh, Let's go to Stephen in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
You'll excuse me. I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. I'll be gentle.
But I wanted to tell you, as a Vietnam veteran and as a strong supporter of President Obama in the last election, I'm very offended by this implication that somehow, if I don't agree with the prevailing opinion of what happened to Osama bin Laden, that somehow I'm a kook or un-American, and I'm neither. Mm. And I'm very offended.
I didn't say you're a kook or un-American.
Well, Mr. Obama implied he said we should have our head examined. I think he has a lot of nerve.
I don't think he said anything of that sort.
Yes, he did. He said anyone who questions this should have his head examined.
Who said that?
Oh, Obama did. He did.
I'm un-American or kooky because I want to question what he did.
Right.
He committed murder. That's what he did. He executed the man without any kind of a trial or any kind of hearing at all. And
wow.
I'm very offended. And I would never vote for him again as long as I lived. Okay?
Stephen, what would you have done? What would you have done?
I would have brought him to court like they did in Nuremberg.
Right,
okay,
but...
And had him on trial.
Yes,
and,
but...
And that's okay, what you do.
But if you were that Navy SEAL and he was reaching for a weapon, you're going to question his judgment?
For a weapon. They were out, every single one of them were
didn't know it at that, okay. at that split
that's
second. He did
lie.
Not know that, sir.
That is a goddamn lie.
Oh, and, all right. Oh, yikes.
And you are a...
Oops. Did we dump that?
Yeah,
okay.
We dumped that.
Yikes.
And you were a... You
know,
wow. Well, no, but I mean, we... That should have been an option, capturing him alive. But, you know, President Obama, before he was president, said he wanted him dead. So those are their orders.
Okay.
And I agree with Laura Flanders, by the way.
Okay.
What did
I'm
she
with
say
the 80% of Americans that say it was the right decision
to kill
him. Well, 80%
of Americans thought it was right to go into Iraq initially, too.
That's so because we were being lied to.
What would you have done in that split second if
really,
you were
in
carrying
that split
a gun
second,
and
you
he jumped out of the bedroom?
Well,
what would you have done, Jim?
If he jumped out of do you know that he jumped out of the bedroom?
What? You don't know that he didn't do anything?
You don't know
you're
going to
substitute your judgment for a Navy SEAL.
I choose the Navy SEAL over Jim Ward.
There were two weapons in the room. Really? You're going to give Osama bin Laden the benefit of the doubt? I mean, he could have had an explosive belt. He could have had All right.
I'm saying it would have been better.
I disagree.
If it had been possible, it would have been better to...
If it had been possible. But it looks like it wasn't possible.
But we don't know.
Perry.
You know what? I believe the Navy SEAL over you, Jim. Sorry.
Perry and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Pear.
Hi. Quick one. To those on the right who diminish the president's role in the OVL operation because he didn't, quote, pull the trigger... I don't recall Harry Truman being the pilot of the Enola Gay.
Right.
Exactly. All right. Billy, my right-wing love muffin in Texas. Hello, Bill.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Long time, no berate.
Yes.
Listen,
You know, I find it a little comical that y'all would mock Newt for his problems with his marriages when y'all made such a demigod out of Bill Clinton. And would,
a demigod?
No, we criticized him for what he did.
I know, but he made more BJ jokes than I
That's
did.
That's right. We criticized the hell out of him for what he did, Billy.
Yeah, and you also it would jump all over the conservatives when they would point out his character flaws.
I don't think, and the vast majority of the American people didn't think he should be impeached over it.
Right.
Well, it had nothing to do with his...
He wasn't impeached over a blowjob.
That was
he
mission.
He was impeached because he lied about
They shouldn't have been investigating his private life in the first place.
That was... Mission creep.
Yeah.
yes. It was a real estate deal gone bad, and suddenly it was all about Monica Lewinsky. And that he said that, no, there is no relationship with her. Well, there was.
Yeah.
But they phrased the question wrong. It wasn't perjury.
I guess I said it a million times. I voted for him for president, not for husband.
And they go after Newt because of his hypocrisy.
And it's all about the hypocrisy. The far right just, you know, family values, family values, family values. And then they put up all of these people that have been divorced, that have had affairs. It's just pure hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Monique in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Monique.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, go ahead.
I'm in Maryland.
Oh, pardon me.
That's okay, but it's the first time calling. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make a point about Randall, the gentleman that was that Mr. Trump had picked, the black that he picked. He actually wanted him to share that with the runner-up, the young lady.
Oh, I see.
And Randall just... No, he said no. And, you know, he's wondering why he's never asked anybody else to do that.
Yeah.
So that was just something that, just a little bit of trivia there.
That's his only evidence, apparently, of why he's not a racist, because 6 years ago, black guy won the Apprentice thing. Shared it, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, let's go to Carrie in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, I think at last I missed the meds cart this morning. Wow. Listen, I just wanted to see if you watched Hannity last night, not on purpose. But there was this lady on who was saying that if women wear short skirts, provocative clothing, they deserve and are asking to get raped.
Ah,
I swear
clearly.
To God.
Wow.
Welcome
to 40 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Talk about the war on women.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand how he would allow somebody on his show to essentially say, hey, she can, it's okay. She asked for it.
Regressives. They're the regressive party.
Sean couldn't respond because there was nothing on the teleprompter that allowed him to respond to that.
Yeah. He didn't get a text from Mark Levin telling him what to say.
Dropped his keyboard.
You know, they probably disappeared Hillary from that photo, too.
Yeah.
No chicks have anything to do with anything important.
Chicks aren't smart.
No. Jeff in Minneapolis. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Hey, Jim, this is for you. I love you, brother, but you're wrong on this Bin Laden thing. Here's why. Okay. He admitted that he was the mastermind behind the crime that killed...
Well...
Upwards of 3,000 innocent people.
I've never seen that.
So he had his trial in the world court.
I agree, and he had the right to remain silent, in my opinion.
You know, I'm practically a communist, so I'm not one of these right-wing nut jobs. But he, much like a defendant, when they go in the court, they can forego a jury trial and enter a plea of guilty immediately and then be sentenced by the judge. In essence, I know he didn't quite come out and say, I give up my right to a jury trial, blah, blah, blah. But by saying that he, in fact, did commit the crime, he then was subject to the punishments of our court system, and one of them in some states is capital punishment. So hence, I believe that what they did was the...
Is this based on your belief that Bin Laden was not behind 9/11?
Well, no,
is that what
I'm just saying that...
Because that's crazy.
I'm just saying that the thing that people refer to as his confession was a tape of someone who obviously was not Bin Laden. If you see it, he was about 70 pounds heavier and was right-handed.
I believe Bin Laden was behind 9/11, and I believe Bin Laden got shot in the head the other day. And I believe, good. That's what I believe. That was my
I'm saying it would have been better to have him on trial so he could tell the world how easy the Bush administration made
it for him. Because we should believe everything he says. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Tuesdays with Tyler next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Generalissimo Francisco Bin Laden is still dead.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. 6 minutes after the hour. I know what that voice is. Once again, I'm just really unnaturally excited. Not in a gay way, I swear.
Actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, it gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler.
Aisha Tyler.
Hi, honey.
Good morning.
So not in a gay way, just in a comedic way.
It's all right.
I'm in a comedic
whatever way
frenzy.
You feel is okay. I'm not a judger. Don't judge. Your feelings are your own. Just, you know, as long as there's no photos.
Listen, it's not like I'm the only one unnaturally obsessed with you. Greg writes, Steph, inquiring minds want to know, when Aisha comes home from being on the road for a while, does her cracker put on the Def Leppard when she walks in the house? I know I would, even risking the blowgun. Please explain. It's a scene from Balls of
First
Fury,
of all,
which
just,
Aisha started.
The internet never ceases to prove that it is full of people with not a lot to do.
Yes.
yes, if you have seen Balls of Fury, cult hit Balls of Fury, and by cult hit, I mean didn't make a lot at the box office. I play an assassin in that movie, and I have this giant, I kind of kill people with this huge, it was a beautiful custom-made dart gun. And then at the end of the movie, we all lip sync. Lots of things happen with ping pong, and it's a mystery. And then at the end of the movie, we do this big kind of like lip-syncy music video to Def Leppard Pour Some Sugar on Me, which was really, the goal of that, it was literally like, how can we get Christopher Walken to dance?
I'm retired.
Yeah. Because people are always like running up to him in the supermarket, like in a Gelson. It's like, hey, do some dancing.
But I do have a watch up my ass.
That's why he won't dance, because it's uncomfortable. So it was all of this ruse, and we couldn't get him to dance. We still couldn't get him to dance. No, he's retired from that.
I think the point of the story is you're a Navy SEAL, aren't you? What's a blowgun?
That's why I haven't been around, my friend.
Sure.
Yes,
sure, you're at the improv.
I was on the road, but yes, I just sent Gabby Union in to lip sync to my comedy special.
You're about as tall as Bin Laden. Maybe they had you lie next to him.
I make sure if he was the same height. So exciting. Can I just say I did so much drunk tweeting that night. I mean, it was really like irresponsible, blind jubilation, poorly spelled, like in your face. You know, I called my dad. He's like, are you guys drunk? I'm like, maybe. Drunk with awesome.
America.
America. And then later I was really ashamed. I mean, it was irresponsible jubilating. You know what I mean? Like, a man's dead. He's a terrible man, but you know, we're like dancing over his body like Ewoks. It was the end of the turn of the jump. Like, it was really, really irresponsible. I felt very dirty.
The president's like, I'm not going to spike the football. I'm like, well, I
know. I spiked the football. I reached inside the end zone pads and I pulled out my cell phone. I called my daddy. We got him, daddy. I did the little thing where you throw the ball up in the air and it turns into a bomb and then you fall backwards. Shock and awe, shock and awe. I did all of it. Oh, my God. So
all right,
awesome.
You've been playing Navy SEAL sex games, haven't you? Jim, I'm going to prove this once
Sadly,
and for all.
Sadly, way before this happened. Yeah.
Can I be your surrogate salt tracker?
Talk about Black Ops. Wah, wah, wah. And can I just say, I said something about like Black Ops, like the Black Ops teams on the internet, and then someone said, there's not just black people in the military, you racist. And I was like, honestly, really? Read much? God. Read at all? Google? Ever? Really? Don't even play Call of Duty. Like, that's how dumb you are. You're like, oh, come on, man. It was almost not worth the tweet back, but I just felt so sad for him. I was like, you realize that Black Ops is not, that's not a racial.
That's not what it means.
And
the Black Ops love
dumb.
Me.
Yeah, the black, they do. I like my ops black, like my women. Purr.
Did you hear Donald Trump said the reason that he can prove he's not racist is because a black guy won The Apprentice once 6 years ago.
I literally just fell asleep and rolled out of the desk. He is so, that's so awesome. That is such a new and beautiful variation on Some of My Best Friends Are Black. It's like, I'm not racist because there's at least three black people working at my bankrupt casino. That's got to be worth something.
Take a listen. Yeah.
Well, you know, if it comes to racism and racist, I am the least racist person there is.
Ever.
And I think most people that know me would tell you that. I am the least racist. I've had great relationships. In fact, Randall Dinkett won on on The Apprentice a little while ago, a couple of years ago.
Six.
And Randall's been outstanding in every way. So, I mean, I am the least racist person.
I'm the super-duper least racist person.
I am so unracist, and by least racist, I mean I don't even think about black people. That's how not racist I am. They don't even cross my mind. So how can I be racist when they don't exist? Except for to shine things like
sometimes
shoes
you just need to stop
and ego.
Stop.
I know. He can't stop. He literally is like compulsively stupid. Like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, he can't stop talking. But that's just somebody like who's so addicted to attention. Like, if he can't run for president, like, you know, if it's between terms, he's going to run for moon. I'm going to run for moon. I think the moon has run its course. I'd like to be moon. I think I'm the most moony person I know. Look how white I am.
I'm simultaneously the most and the least. The mostest and the leastest of everything.
And I also, like, did he go to, like, better. When he was questioning the president's grades, like, where did, like, I don't want to be a jerk, like, where did he go to college? Like, I'm genuine, like, did Trump go to college? Did he do, I mean, come on, is he, like, not a, like, DeVry, like, Hall of Famer? Like, where did he go to school?
I built a college.
Yes, exactly.
This is what,
covered with I gold was a, plate.
And there's a black guy who goes there, proving I'm not racist.
Last time I emailed Aisha, I said, because someone had sent me her Maxim cover or something, and I'm like, you went to Dartmouth and you look like that, and I don't hate you? What's my self-esteem?
All movie magic. Movie magic, all of it. It's just, all right. It's my head on Halle Berry.
Let's go back to jubilating about what happened in...
The Bada Bada.
Oh, that's so cute. I was in a Bada and so wasn't able to hear this adorable song until I got back. So cute.
That's adorable. Yeah, I mean, Navy SEALs, what can you say?
Well, now, are there still... Okay, it's been a week. So...
I love that he stuck his head out the moon.
Raggy! Raggy! So I have a question, because legitimately, I've been jubilating so hard I've stopped watching the news.
Yeah.
Did the birthers who converted to deathers, are they done? Because, like, on Thursday, Al-Qaeda was like, yes, Obama's dead, like, Osama bin Laden's dead, Obama killed
They believe
Osama
him. They believe Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, like, they don't believe our president or our military or the actual guys who were there.
Yeah.
But then Al-Qaeda comes out, and they're like, you have killed him, and they're like, ugh. But are they believing them? Are they even believing?
I guess.
Okay.
As you know, he's really George Bush's victory.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
You're welcome, America. You see what I did for you?
I didn't even have to fight that fight for him. Like, I had my people who follow me, like, I said something about that Obama killed Osama, and then, like, my Twitter followers were like, no, he didn't, Bush did it. And then one of my tweets just created, like, it was like a thesis. Like, she had been working on it since, like, college. She's like, here's my term paper about how Bush did not kill Osama bin Laden. Like, quotes and references and pie charts kind of a thing that looked like an EKG readout. I don't think about it. I'm
not worried
about it. I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist because they wanted him alive because they needed a boogeyman.
Oh, yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
They needed a boogeyman.
Well, and Tommy writes, Steph, because now the big thing is, it's the torture that we started. That's, you know, that's the way. If the torture of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed worked, why didn't they get bin Laden, who's been living in Pak's tent safe house since 2005?
Yeah, exactly.
How come nobody has to change their rummy that? The actionable intelligence that was used to get bin Laden was a result of a CIA operation that President Obama put into action after George Bush shut the program down in 2005.
Program down. That's the thing. They weren't actively looking for the guy. Yeah. All of this information was new information.
That intel was less than a year old, so it could not have come from the torture program under the Bush administration.
Well, we actually got everything we needed from that, but we just wanted to keep torturing people.
This is not my joke. I'm going to apologize in advance. I never tell other people's jokes, but I'm going to say this is someone else's joke. I don't even know whose joke it is, but my friend sent it to me. That it was like giving Bush credit for killing Osama bin Laden was like thanking your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend for setting her expectations very low. Wow. He was awful. Yeah. So now my kind of moderately serviceable skills are really, like, making it happen for you, right? You're like, at least you look me in the eye when we're doing it. Huge improvement.
It's hard to tell, like, what parts are funnier, that he's sitting there like Norma Desmond watching himself in an old blanket, just... I'm still big. It's terrorism that's got
it. Small. Jihad is
small. In a rocker with a knit blanket across his lap.
I am big.
Yes.
It's the picture that got small.
Yeah, which
acting's awesome.
Shockingly a lot like my life, watching those Bin Laden videos. But,
especially the monkey funeral.
But, and then the outtakes. How hilarious. I think we still have one of them.
I would love it. Do it live! Yeah. I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Yeah.
thing sucks.
Yeah,
he spoke English pretty well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. Completely fluent in English. Often traveled the world. dressed as some mid-level, Pakistani sheikh.
Yeah.
I saw him at Harrods in London a couple of years ago. Having a nice trifle.
And also, it's a little sitcom-y, too.
It was a little sitcom-y.
I love with the wives and the kids are there.
I mean, it was literally pastoral, you know what I mean? Like this pastoral scene. They had goats and they were making cheese.
Yeah, it was like Big Love
meets Dexter.
They were having
this kind of Provence. We have the table out of the olive tree.
And
we grilled the bread, everyone come.
He was like Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace, too. He wouldn't throw the ball back if it went over his fence.
Well, you know, you throw the ball back. That's actionable intelligence. The kids on the other side could be licking it for DNA.
Yeah, we did some of, the Abbottabad's funniest home videos. We think like a couple of plots got foiled because like he got hit in the nads by his kid's soccer ball. It's just
landed right on the crotchal area.
Compel videos.
Oh my God! But just to get somber for one moment, I did look. Like I looked at some of the photos, and I was like, "Man, people die and stuff." We've been jubilating and everything, and they're there are some pretty intense photos out there. So I understand why they didn't put the photos out.
Yeah.
Because seeing real people dead, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then luckily,
you're talking about the other people in the compound.
Yeah, the other people in the compound. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I made that mistake during breakfast. Oh, how
terrible.
Bad can they?
Oh yeah. And like, first of all, you ease into it. You're like, I'm an adult. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like people die, this is life, and I'm tough. And then I was like, oh, I need a hug. I need a hug and a bath.
We did release the pictures of Saddam Hussein's sons.
Yes, they retouched those, right? They actually had what do you call those guys that put stuff into dead people? Not
morticians,
not
taxidermists.
Thank you. Yes, not
necrophiliacs.
Not necrophiliacs. No.
Oh, I'm sorry, not putting that.
No, no, we're just
sorry.
Is that a bad word?
I think that's someone that has sex with a dead
person. Yeah,
I know.
I was struggling. That's not what I meant at all. They had morticians touch them up.
Yeah, they didn't do a very good job.
No, I mean, field mortician. He's like, look, I've got a bag of golf balls and a glass of orange juice. We're gonna see what we can do. I don't have all my tools. Very hot out here.
And some spackle. I got spackle.
Couldn't do much. I got a tube of toothpaste. Will that do anything? Will that help at all? So
18 minutes after the hour, we continue Tuesdays with Tyler. Oh, is that what you handed this to me for?
Yes.
I see.
Work has to happen.
Listen, that was a seamless segue. Here's the other thing that's come out is he did have carbonite, and he did type Stephanie in the box, which is great, which is why we have a trove. You're welcome. Why we have such a trove of information.
Trove. A treasure trove.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie Miller. As we become more mobile, we take more risks. Listen, you take our laptops wherever we go. But laptops accidentally left at the airport security every day. About 2 million laptops a year stolen. All that stuff in there, you can't lose it. You can replace a laptop. Carbonite Online Backup gets all your stuff back in the computer. It automatically backs up all your computer files whenever you're connected to the Internet. A computer disaster happens. Just a few clicks and you get everything back like magic. Unlimited backup, only $59 a year. That's right. It includes anytime, anywhere back access to your backed up files from any computer, your smartphone, or iPad with a free app. Boy, howdy. Go to carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for this special offer. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. That's carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
Yay!
Yay! Right back with Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Shake it up. Shake it up.
You got a chance to, I think, really deliver a fatal blow to this organization if we follow through aggressively in the months to come.
Yeah, do you love they've used this to say the president is still weak on terror?
What?
Burr?
Who said that?
It's just, look, like you were saying, Donald Rumsfeld's on TV
Rumsfeld
bitching.
Like, I'm like, criticizing.
Well, look at all the guys he didn't get.
Exactly. He hasn't gotten all of the other ones of the ones that we don't know about because we weren't paying attention and stopped caring. Because
he hasn't yet killed the people who will one day be terrorists once they're born.
God. Yeah, proving once again in the age of Obama, some conservative pundits just can't resist giving comfort to fringy conspiracy theorists. Peggy Noonan over the weekend blamed the president for stoking the nutty fires that burn around the story of Osama bin Laden's death. It's his fault, I guess, because he didn't release the...
His fault that crazy people are crazy?
Are crazy, yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes. All right.
According to the recent Gallup poll, 9 out of 10 Americans approve of bin Laden's killing. More than 70% think Obama should get the credit. But she was talking about not releasing the... which now he looks even smarter, doesn't he? Because these videos are better.
Than anything. And not only... Now, first of all, think about all the... Okay. Aisha got all worked up. Let's start again. When they first realized that this was confirmed intelligence, the recommendation was to bomb this compound, right? That we're going to bomb the compound strategically. And he was the one who decided, no, we're not going to do that. We want to know that we got this guy definitively. We want to have proof
and all this intelligence.
For the world. And we're going to get, which incredible piles of intelligence that they retrieved. But we aren't even going to know where all of it's going to lead for quite a bit of time. So first of all, he's awesome. The president's awesome. But second of all, crazy people are going to be crazy. Literally, like, they could have propped him up like Weekend at Bernie's and marched him down Connecticut Avenue. You know what I mean?
But
in
you know
a parade.
What? Bush would have had him like Weekend at Osama's. Like, he would have just taken him everywhere with him. He would have been next to his State of the Union. He
like
would have been dead Osama. Just be sitting
anybody
right there.
Anybody with kids out there, you have your kid as the Flat Sally thing where you, like, draw a little, you fold up a little paper doll you send around the world.
Yeah, every speech
flat
the rest
Osama.
Of his,
just desiccated Osama.
He would have been right next to him. Yes. He'd feel, he'd just prop him back up again.
Bin Laden jerky.
Make
exactly.
his mouth move like Jerry Mahoney. Yeah. You know,
he's been like a ventriloquist for the rest of his term.
Exactly.
If he is.
He's starting to smell. Everything's starting to get a little gamey, Mr. President.
The president's carny.
We also do not apologize for the action that we took, that this president took. He said, dating back to the campaign, if there is an opportunity to bring Osama bin Laden to justice and he is on Pakistani soil and this is the only way we can do it, do it unilaterally. He will take that chance and do it, and he did. It's simply beyond a doubt in his mind that he had the right and the imperative to do this.
I understand that his next plan to attack trains was to attack the bullet trains, which do not yet exist.
Yes, which we don't have.
I can't wait for the Republicans to take credit for that.
To build them.
I can't wait for Republicans to take credit for that. See, we didn't build them.
We'd like to, we're trying to keep our country mired in the late 20th century for as long as possible in order to foil the terrorists.
Yeah. I'm like, don't worry about it, Osama. We all have Republican governors. We don't have any trains.
We have nothing worth blowing up anymore. So...
That's how you really beat terrorism. We have bullet regional buses. Yes.
You crumble your own infrastructure. That's how you beat the terrorists.
We kick our own bridges down. So,
so the United States wants access to the Osama's three wives, and so do we.
Yeah,
how much
we
would we love to take them out
to the wives, right? Just like if we could just have a drink and dish, ladies. This okay now. This
Real
is,
Housewives
now, this is like
of
the end of Section City 2, where like this fantasy that we have about all the women over there that underneath all their bias, they're rocking like, you know, YSL. We're like, oh, we just, as soon as we got out of the compound, we wanted to share. Who wants to go to the bathroom and hold my hair?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
did they commiserate or I don't know?
They're probably just like, ugh, this was the best we could do.
Listen, I'm not great at commitment, so the fact that she rushed the Navy SEAL and got shot in the leg, he wasn't that committed to her. There were two others. I don't know what the hell she was thinking.
He was like, no, stop. No, don't. Please get behind me.
Now she couldn't wait to get out of there. Get away from him.
She was like, listen, I'm going to tell you where all the intel is. Please, I just like a flushing toilet.
There's toilets in every
room. Were there toilets?
In every room.
Wow, in every room.
Every room had a toilet.
Let
Some
me just say, they must have been sex slaves, because that place was a mess. I mean, three wives, and a mess.
Oh, Ms. Miller, where are we going now?
Aisha Tyler.
Someone's going to write a letter.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, you're going to be all right, too.
Stephanie Miller.
You got a certain limited appeal.
You mean that?
Yeah.
Thank you. I aim for just this level of mediocrity. Thank you. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free. From all the rest, it's too much. It's too much. Then you're, you know, next thing you know, you're doing blow off a hooker. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't want that kind of crazy success.
No, that's exhausting.
No.
It's hard on the back doing blow off of hookers, by the way. If you don't have like a good, like a counter or like an island in your kitchen or something like that, it's just, that's just like a neck injury waiting to happen, honestly.
By the way,
so difficult.
Kent from Iowa writes, Steph, you're right about the Navy. David Schuster was on this morning. He had a former Navy SEAL on, and he said they don't take training classes on how to wound. Because you never know what a person has strapped to them or whatever.
Yeah, no,
it's
no.
It's another edition of my mind.
It's center mass, man, all the time. The fact that they shot the lady in the leg, that was like a conscious choice. That was like a moment in a movie when it went into like slow motion, and he was like, I am deliberately aiming downward against all previous training and instinct.
There's no Navy SEAL class on how to sprain someone's ankle. Or
right, exactly. Literally, like, they probably didn't just shoot Bin Laden in the face. Probably shot him through his like right rod and cone. right through cone 7 and rod 9 of his eye.
I think they are trained in atomic wedgies, though.
And purple nipples. Why are we there? How do we get there so fast? I don't know.
Richard in Asheville, you're on with Aisha Tyler. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Aisha.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that, Aisha, you are a shining ray of comedy. I love all the moves. I love all of the face painters that you have made, that Stephanie has managed to accumulate. But I literally just cannot breathe when you are talking.
Me too.
You make me laugh so hard. Actually, Netflix has several of your DVDs on their website. But they're all... they all have to be delivered. None of them are a digital download. You need to use some of your amazing star power that you have accumulated and yell at them until they are available for download.
Well, I am going to call Mr. Flix immediately.
Excellent.
Because, as you know, Richard,
political pressure.
She leaves people breathless.
Exactly.
Am I right? I do love you more than air. I cannot breathe without you. Too much?
A little much, but that's okay. I feel loved. I feel loved. I'm just sliding my chair slightly away from yours. But not
I am
so much
inching
that it's
slowly.
Upsetting. Slowly towards the door.
That's what I said. I'm not sure if it's how pathetic my life is or how fabulous you are or some combination of the two.
I'm going to come here more
but
often.
But Tuesdays are just...
That was awesome. Thank you for that lovely call.
I can't breathe. Norman in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Norman.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just have a suggestion. I know you made a little slip earlier about bringing your show to Seattle, which I think you should do.
We don't know anything about it. Listen, don't make me shoot you in the eye.
But I think you should add Edie McClurg and the fabulous Aisha Tyler to the lineup.
Well,
that'd
listen.
Be hugely sexy.
Yeah, well, you know, and how stupid would I be to call something Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show and then stand on stage next to Aisha Tyler?
No,
I mean, how stupid
no.
am I, Norman?
No, I'm going to come up with a black eye and a club foot.
Norman, we are sexy liberal elves are working all the time on just those things. I've said that to you. I'm really hoping at some point.
I hope so, too. It would be great. I mean, I'm touring right now all by myself, so it's kind of the moderately attractive cursing too much liberal. I will be in Chicago this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Zany's.
Oh, awesome.
Zany's is in downtown Chicago. I will only be there one night because it's a tiny little space, so that's going to be a very intimate show. It's going to sell out very quickly. It might have already sold out. And then I'll be Friday and Saturday at Zany's in Vernon Hills, which is a little drive outside of Chicago.
You're the girl that probably no one ever asked out because they didn't think they had a chance, so that's why I was like, do you think sometime maybe you could do the Sexy Liberal Show?
Well,
you're probably too popular and busy, right?
And I told her I would love to do that with you after the line of other people. No, I would love to do it with you. I want to tell you something. You give me so much more credit. I am giant. People don't know this because this is radio. I'm a giantess. Literally, like, I think if you wiki giantess, there's Aisha Tyler qualifies. And I've been this tall since I was, like, 7. So I was just this giant kind of homely black girl with like a kind of a ready for the world jury curl and really thick glasses. And I was like the fourth member of Bell Biv DeVoe. No, I did not get a lot of dates. Okay, no.
You were like poison.
I was.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
never. You know what, Stephanie? Let's get serious here. Never trust a big butt and a smile, okay? Just remember that. Remember that.
But see, that's why you're, smart and humble and all that, in addition now to being gorgeous. So they really, it's irritating.
I'm
every way.
Sorry. I don't know what to do.
You
I like being here. Yeah. I could pass gas.
I could.
No, you would have been the Navy SEAL. They would have made lay next to Osama bin Laden.
To measure.
I don't care how much training you have.
She's about 2 meters.
I don't care how much training you have. That guy had to be like, dude.
Honestly.
He's juicing all over the place.
You know what I mean? I actually honestly think he lost a bet. They're like, and if we get this guy. Yeah, I'll lie down next to him, sure. You
he
know
lost
I mean?
The drinking like, game in a bottle exactly, the night before.
Exactly. Next time you'll practice your quarter skills. That just goes to show you kids out there. Your mom tells you you're not learning anything in college, you're learning something. You're learning something good.
All right. Oh, it's such a happy day. Aisha's here. I have to do a couple of sad entertainment stack. Can
oh,
I have
no.
my sad music? Well, one of my,
oh,
my 70s
music.
TV's moms died.
Oh, no. Hobo music playing.
Exactly.
Sad hobo music.
Seda Thompson died.
Who?
The mom on Family.
Who?
What? Love, love, love. Am I the only one that's old?
Family?
She played the mother on Family.
I don't remember that. That is.
That was the
that
series
is,
where
honestly,
all the girls lived at home till they were like 47.
Can I just say that naming a show Family, I mean, like, literally, like, if you're walking down the aisle of television at the supermarket, that's like the most generic. It's like Family right next to Comedy and Beer. Like, well, that was the best they could do. No focus groups in the 70s, apparently. No testing. I'm just going to call it Family. That's all. I'm tired. That was all
boy.
I could do.
Christy McNichol.
Oh, okay.
You know, of
yeah.
course, I identified with the little tomboy.
Oh, yeah. I remember. I loved her because, oh, she was, yeah. What was that name of that movie that she did where they went to camp and then
Foxes.
They...
Foxes? No.
Was it like Little Girls or Little Women?
Little Darlings.
Little Darlings.
Okay.
Little Darlings. Oh, yeah. Now, that was a formative film
okay.
in my life.
All right.
And it's not, you can't buy it from Vivid out there, all right?
See, I knew if we hit 1 degree of Christy McNichol, somehow I would pull you in tomorrow.
We're connected.
Well, listen, Chris was raised by who? Britt Eklund was one of his?
No, Brett Summers.
Brett Summers.
Ooh. I prefer Britt Eklund, actually.
He was a husky latchkey boy that was raised by his television mother.
Wow.
Yes. All right. This is actually sad. Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver separating after 25 years.
Shocker.
Yeah.
She just got tired. She just got sick. I'm just tired. I'm not even angry. I'm just exhausted.
Some things of this nature.
Yes.
She just is like, I'm gonna stay with you until 1 year after office.
They said it's after a time of great personal and professional transition for each of us.
Yeah.
Meaning he has nothing to do when he's hanging around the house. Maria, make me some eggs.
I'm not in politics and I'm not the movie
things
star.
Things of this nature.
Yeah, he does things like this right there.
Do you think he actually said hasta la vista?
Hasta la vista, things of this nature.
I can't take the catchphrases anymore. Oh, God.
I have left of the catchphrases and things of this nature.
Things like this right there. That was my... It was like, not things of this nature is actually a real phrase. Things like this right there, that doesn't
well,
mean, that
they're
doesn't
almost
mean
all,
anything.
They're almost all lines from his movies. Remember that I consider this a divorce. See, it's like you're like, oh, jeez.
Yeah,
like
but you know,
that
he just, he's a soundbite driven guy. You know what I mean? He's just like.
Yeah, but it got old in like the first week of him running for governor.
Really
we're like,
did.
Oh, yeah,
really
we're going to terminate the
deficit.
And then
we elected him.
Yeah.
So let's all curl up like a puppy who just got their nose pushed in poo.
Yeah. I think we did that bit that by the second week of him running, he had to borrow like other people's movie catchphrases. It was already like, you know.
Show me the money!
Show me the money. You are my knight in shining
armor.
I did not
shoplift a booty.
As long as I live, I will never go hungry again. These kinds of things.
Right there.
All right. Paula Abdul will reunite with Simon Cowell on the X Factor.
Can I just point out we made an item about somebody's divorce? Like a 5-minute cackle fest. I'm sorry.
Listen,
Maria. Okay.
You're happily married. I'm a bitter old hag. I have nothing else to do. It makes me happy when other people are unhappy.
Now, Carvel and Madeline, any day now.
That's why I want to talk to Bin Laden. I just want to talk to Bin Laden's wife, someone that makes worse romantic choices than I do.
He was a very gentle lover. He was thoughtful. He was thoughtful.
You take this
kind.
Woman to be your human shield.
When it was actually my turn to have sex with him every 3 or 4 months, it was so exciting. I wonder what the name word in Persian for is for sister wife. Okay,
I don't know.
All right.
And the final Meredith Vieira leaving the Today Show.
Yeah, well, that's been happening for
that
like
Ann
months Cur- now.
That all about Eve Ann Curry's finally getting her.
Now let me.
She's
I,
been
I
lurking around for years.
The kindest thing that I can say about Ann Curry. I think she's a lovely person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you?
I mean, she seems nice, the times that I've interacted with her. She is a reporter. She is a journalist.
Yes.
She has a hard time on the couch. It's going to be interesting. she does. She just,
a little stiff.
Yeah, like Aisha Tyler, heretofore banned from Today Show. yeah, not like they've been calling a lot. But no, I mean, she just, you know, it's like everybody has their skill set, and I just feel like Warm and Fuzzy is like, you know, down below, you know, running through the streets of Baghdad with flak jacket and, you know, and then explaining pie charts and graphs, and then like way down, like 11 is, you know, Warm and Fuzzy on the couch.
So let me just, actual human interaction.
Yes, exactly. Talking with people, making words with your mouth informally.
Michael and Mesa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Aisha. Hi, Michael.
Hey, so yeah, I was really excited about getting the whole Osama bin Laden. Actually, more excited than I thought I would be. But my main question, and I haven't heard anyone talking about it, mainly the liberals, is when are we going to start getting our rights back? FISA, Patriot Act.
But yes, we got to rescind the Patriot Act.
That boat has sailed. God, I have a chip in my bottom right now. I don't even know what it went in there, but it just tracks everything.
If you have an iPhone, you're screwed.
Exactly. They don't. We can rescind the Patriot Act, and Steve Jobs is just slowly compiling a list of everything you've done and eaten, how many times you visited
Fleshbot.
What you're doing.
I'm telling you, they've probably been watching me. My life looks exactly like Bin Laden. Somebody got bored to death, and they shut down the unit watching me. They're like, are you kidding me? Is that
she does
drink wine?
Again.
Watch cable?
Drink wine and look at her iPad in the bathtub. That's
I love him flipping the remote. I just he's just like,
I know I'm not supposed to like Entourage, but I love it. All of these funny guys and the women, so many women. I mean, it's interesting that's not no one's even bringing that up on either side, right? About rescinding the Patriot Act, because you know the war on the abstract concept will continue.
We should just change it to that, at least.
War on abstract concept.
Change it to that, so at least it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I know, and like we all died inside a long time ago. Like, do we even care? Like, I already know. But I'm telling you, you should be worried about
all the
cookies.
Don't harsh my bloodlust.
I'm still jubilating. Wait a couple months. Listen, the government doesn't need the Patriot Act. They have cookies. They every time you visit a website, there's just this creepy thing that's recording everything you do and buy and how many times you replace your light bulbs.
Yeah.
So just let that part of your life
I discovered
go.
That the hard
go.
Way, that even if someone's at your house and you know, whatever the things you did, they come up anyway. You're like, that was for the show.
Empty your cash 100 times and it's still buried. Dump your cash every day, and the minute somebody from the government walks in, like, oh, I've been looking at porn. How'd you know? So,
46 minutes after the hour.
Porn is a terrible thing.
I think Rude Pundit said that earlier in the week, that he thinks, Osama, that there was something that one of the three wives wouldn't do, that he was on the porn
side. Right. Something. There's got to be something, you know. Everybody's got their limits.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Aisha Tyler on her, furiously typing on her iPad. Your husband, or as you call him, your cracker, is into what game now?
Oh, he's going to kill me when I get home. Plants versus Zombies. Plants versus Zombies. Yes. Which, in my opinion, into speak and tech speak, is the Angry Birds killer. It is the Angry Birds killer. It is like the most complex game. There's he's cursing at his iPad and like huffing and it's sweating and angry. anything with zombies in the title is a game for me. So I support him wholeheartedly. But you should choose a recreational thing that just makes you like sweat and rage.
Not really entertainment.
Maybe take up drinking. Maybe that's more relaxing.
Exactly.
It's like your hobby is so angry.
Oh, look, it's my morning letter from Rachel Maddow's daddy.
Oh.
He's so cute.
That's adorable.
He mentions the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Syracuse this Saturday, May 14th at the Krauss-Heinz Theater. Get tickets. Go to Ticketmaster. Do it. Go now. But
he mentions
my hometown, Lockport, up the transit from Cheektowaga and Lackawanna, is in New York.
That was not even English.
New York's 26th congressional district. This is where the guy, the shirtless Craigslist guy.
Oh, lost shirtless his seat. Craigslist. Oh, yeah. Too bad for him. He's so sad.
So, and it's a hugely Republican district. It's, mm-hmm. you know, anyway, but the I believe the Democrat is in a dead heat or is pulled ahead in a poll I saw yesterday, which is tea and then a heat.
Tea and then finally a heat.
And then a heat. Maybe the theme of the Sexy Liberal Show in Syracuse should be Take Back the 26th. Woohoo!
Woo.
Yeah, it's hilarious. This Paul, the budget monster, has done us all a favor. Paul Ryan is
budget monster.
People are pissed.
He really, oh yeah, he's thank God for him. You know what I mean? Self-immolate. What, we don't need to set you on fire. You do it yourself. Thank you. He's a self-starter.
Yeah, I mean, the Republican running for this guy's seat has been vigorously defending Ryan's plan, and her lead has just evaporated.
It hurts. It hurts right in your face. Can I say something?
Yes.
Who is this hot guy with his shirt off on the cover of...
Aaron Schock.
Well, that might make me switch parties for at least 45 minutes or so.
Who's that?
Yum! I got to find a picture of him. I was looking at him this morning before I came in, and he is... he's a good-looking fellow.
He's who is it? Republican?
Yeah, he's a Republican from Illinois. And he's like super rippy, and he does P90X.
P90X, well.
You know, I mean, he's not tending to... anybody that is in that good of shape is not tending to the needs of his country or constituents. You know what I mean?
It was like George Bush. He was always out bike riding.
If you could either... If people had to guess what you do when you could either be a senator or be starring in gay porn, you're probably not really focusing on your job. You know, look at him. He's a guy. He's wailing on his pecs all day long. He is not doing the business of
he's
the American
working.
People, but he could do my business. Anyway, yeah, he's hot. Jim,
remember we used to talk about that Bush used to brag about, like his how fast he does a mile and his heart rate and his body fat, and we're like, what about getting the right intelligence before
you take that run into Tora Bora, buddy? Instead of running along the mall, why don't you run up into the mountains
check out
there?
My rest and
take
heart
a look
rate.
Around.
All right.
Now
I
look
am...
at my brain scan. Oops.
I saved a fun stack just for you because it involves women smuggling things up their hoo-ha.
Oh, how exciting.
Mm-hmm. Woman allegedly attempts to use intimate area
intimate
to
area.
Smuggle gun
intimate
into...
Intimate area with quotes.
Yeah.
Intimate area. Smuggle a gun into it. See?
Smuggle a gun.
And also I do this story because her name...
That's not such an intimate area if you can fit a gun in there. It's more of a public
space.
Public
space,
space
yeah.
Whoa, that's more like a stadium. That's like
a portico. That's more like the Lincoln Tunnel. Also did the story because her name's Aisha.
Oh,
just
no.
Was it a 38 or an AK-47?
I cannot vouch for
Aisha McClinton was arriving. Well, and Aisha's also I'm doing this story because...
Of the Irish Aishas. Aisha McClinton.
Someone that makes worse romantic choices than
okay.
me.
Oh,
or even the Bin Laden wives.
Yeah.
She was arriving at Stateville Correctional Center to visit a man serving a life sentence for murder.
Whoops.
And the officer...
My bad.
Saw the officer saw a 9mm handgun come from her waistband. The police say the firearm appeared to have been concealed in an intimate area of her anatomy.
Well, okay,
so she was trying to smuggle a gun.
Where is her intimate area?
Where is her
intimate area located? I mean, like the gun was both in her intimate area and sticking out of her waistband. Is it a trick gun? Is it a banana? Is it a banana zuka? Like how is it in the intimate area?
I think
and also
it fell out of her
waistband.
It had been, and then it fell from the
or she had
area
a string
that
attached to it. And
obviously,
have,
was not that intimate,
I have
and
one
did not
word.
And did not have very good muscle control either.
Kegels. Ladies, do your kegels. If you're going to smuggle weapons into prison, I suggest a few weeks of remedial kegel work.
At least have the muscle strength to hang on to it.
Exactly.
While you get past the cops.
Let's plan our strategic moves before
especially
we make
especially if there's
them.
A silencer on it.
Right.
All right. And finally, butt dial. Let's 911 dispatcher listen to three suspects planning another crime. Friends don't let friends butt dial. Through an open phone line Onondaga County, New York, 911 dispatcher listen to three suspects allegedly planned another crime. One of the suspects had inadvertently pocket dialed 911 and dispatcher listened to the whole.
That's awesome. That's just awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, you just go into jail and you just say, who wants to kick my ass first? Come on, let's get it over with. It's going to come out eventually, so I just like to take my beating now. I don't want it to be a surprise. You know what I mean?
Jay in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi. Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, all this talk about torture produced to actionable intelligence is a red herring. What's really going on here, Bush...
Cheney, Rumsfeld, they all knew bin Laden was there. They paid off Musharraf. They've been conspiring and stealing all the time. Follow the money. That's the conspiracy snossage that we can all buy into. That's why they're talking about torture as if it's some going to produce some kind of actual intelligence. It's crap. It's total crap.
Yeah. All right. I enjoyed that because that just proves that not only the conservatives can come up with a lovely conspiracy theory. I actually do. Whether he knew where he was or not, I can't say. Well, but I think that they needed a boogeyman.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And they realized that once this guy was dead, there was no foundation to us being over there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, he was much more meaningful, more valuable to us alive than dead.
Yeah. It's always it's incompetent evil. Incompetent evil. With the Bush administration, you never.
They're
know.
Two sides of the same snossage.
Hey, maybe you got your incompetence and my evil. Aisha Tyler, tonight
I'll be at the Improv in Los Angeles. So a very special show of all San Francisco comedians called Bay Hilaria. Come out for that. And then I will be Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night at Zany's in Chicago. I think it's Zany's.com. But come visit me online, twitter.com/Aisha Tyler, facebook.com/Aisha Tyler.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yay!